Don't Depend on Daddy is an unfiltered safe space, empowering young professionals to build independence in their 20s and beyond, whether it be personal, professional, or financial. Regardless of your age, relationship status, or job title, the most consistent person in your life is you. So join me and let's build our independence together. Enjoy. Hello and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host and I'm so excited for today's episode because we're talking about things that I no longer buy. As usual, before we get into the bulk of the show today, we're going to go through our usual housekeeping and our Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. I'm going to try to waste no time on this week. So first things first, as always, you can use the code PODCAST1 for $10 off the personal finance dashboard. This is a never-ending, evergreen code, so it doesn't matter when you listen to the show, when you've started listening to the show. If you haven't gotten the PFD yet, here's your sign. If this is your first time listening to Don't Depend on Daddy, hello and welcome. The personal finance dashboard is my comprehensive signature financial management tool. Everything you need to know is available on the sales page, but if you have questions, feel free to send me an email and let me know. Next, as always, the financial planning checklist is also available in the show notes. If you enroll in this checklist, so if you go download it, it will automatically enroll you in my free financial planning email course that will just take you through the 4 steps to actually implement what's inside the checklist. So go check that out if you are looking to like spring clean your money or something, or just restart or generally start your financial journey. And one other quick thing is I've set up a handful of like chat funnels to help get my resources out to more people in a more streamlined way. So if you go to my Break Your Budget page and you DM me the word budget, it will also automatically send you my personal finance starter kit. So you can DM me the word budget or you can comment on any of my posts and it'll like automatically send you that. So that's a fun, cool, new little thing that's going on over on the Break Your Budget page. With that, 2 more quick things. One, if you haven't ordered Own Your Money, you totally should. You can do that on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever. Also, you can listen to it for free on Spotify Premium, which actually reminds me, quick topic is Own Your Career. Pub date, just got it, July 2nd. I don't know if I've said that on here yet. I will do a more formal like announcement, but podcasters heard it first. July 2nd is when my next book, Own Your Career, is going to be coming out. Technically, as of now, the book is available for pre-order if you were to like search Own Your Career on Amazon. I have not done my formal go pre-order the book announcement quite yet on socials, but again, podcasters hear it first. So if you do want to go pre-order Own Your Career like 3 to 4 months in advance, that option is available for you, but more to come there. Okay, now let's move into the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. So as a reminder, the Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week is an opportunity to share a moment of independence. So it can be literally anything. My goal is to start highlighting day-to-day moments, things, experiences where you show up for yourself that don't get celebrated or, you know, maybe they get overlooked. So if you want to submit your Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week, you can do so in the show notes. I'm going to share mine and I'm really excited about this one. Last week when I went skiing in Oregon, I was with my sister and she brought me some of her sourdough starter. So I have now officially entered my sourdough era and I successfully cooked or baked my first 2 sourdough loaves. So my first one was, you know, the trial loaf, right? Like you kind of have no idea how it's going to go. My second loaf turned out phenomenal. I actually haven't sliced into it, but just by the way that it looks amazing. And I think the difference between first loaf and second loaf is the first loaf, I didn't realize like how much time and like prep time goes into the loaf. So I didn't like time it properly. This loaf, I woke up on Sunday morning or Saturday night, I took my starter out of the fridge and fed it. And then Saturday night, I took it out of the fridge, let it come to room temperature. Sunday morning, I fed it twice, like an hour in between. And then I started making the loaf around like 1 p.m. And I did my stretch and fold all afternoon, let it rise until like 9:30. And then I put it in the fridge overnight to ferment and it came out like so fluffy and gorgeous. So I'm really excited. After I record this episode, I'm going to go slice into it. So that's my Don't Depend on Daddy moment of the week. I have a new hobby unlocked, sourdough bread. Really excited about it. More updates to come as I, you know, embark on this journey. I know I'm a little late to the party, but I'm really enjoying it. So with that, let's get into the actual episode where I'm going to be sharing 10 things that I no longer buy. Before I share these, I want to share just like three quick little, they're not even disclaimers, just like points, important things to note. So these are things that I no longer buy for a few reasons. The first reason being, I just feel like the cost of living has become so outrageous everywhere. You know, I live in LA and obviously things were already expensive here. I honestly don't think that the cost of living here is, I've said this before, any more expensive than the cost of living in any major city. That being said, the things like groceries and just like regular day-to-day things are just becoming more expensive than what I personally feel is appropriate to pay for them. And so I'm sort of taking things into my own hands, making decisions as a result of that. So that's point number one. Point number two is I want to be super clear that not buying these things isn't necessarily going to change your financial situation dramatically. You know, I shared some of these on a TikTok video actually, and somebody commented saying that it's giving make your coffee at home and stop buying avocado toast energy. And that's not the point of this at all. Like, I'm not getting up here to say, oh, if you, you know, don't buy bread at the store, you're going to become a millionaire. That's literally missing the whole point. I mean, obviously being on the internet has exposed me to the level of stupidity in the world that I just did not know existed. But that being said, that's not the point of this. So don't misinterpret what I'm saying, please, and don't put words in my mouth. I know if you're listening to the podcast, unless you're one of my silent haters, which apparently I still have some of those, I know if you're listening to this, you generally like get, you're picking up what I'm putting down, right? So you guys are in the group of people who I trust. This is the circle of trust and you know what I mean. So these are not going to be things that like dramatically change the situation. They're just things that I feel like are either too expensive, I can do better my own way, or just like stuff I don't really need. And then number three, or my third point here, is sharing this, I think, highlights the importance of having spending guidelines. So spending guidelines are just boundaries or parameters around what you will and won't spend money on. The difference between like a spending guideline and a money rule, which a money rule is something that Ramit Sethi coined, that's like overarching rules for how you approach your financial decisions. Spending guidelines are fluid, okay? They're always going to change based off of what you want or don't want in your life. As you go through your life, the things you choose to spend money on are going to change and shift as your life changes and shifts, right? You know, what I felt was important or how I approached my finances and my spending decisions when I was 22 to 26 is very different than how I'm approaching my finances now from like 27, 28 into my later 20s and, you know, in a year and a half, my 30s, which we're not going to talk about that quite yet. So just keep that in mind. It's really important to have spending guidelines. Hopefully this helps you think of some if you like don't have any. I also have been seeing these videos float around a lot on TikTok. I personally think they're really great to watch. I am trying to share some that are like less common because I feel like a lot of people say like, oh, I'm not spending money on my nails, which I'm also, that's on my list, but I have some that are, you know, a little bit more different. So with that, let's get right into it. And I'm going to also say the first three are related to things at the grocery store. So keep that in mind. Okay. Number one, the first category of things that I am no longer buying are pre-cut or pre-made foods from the grocery store. So pre-cut, when I say pre-cut, I mean like the containers of vegetables and pre-cut fruit that's at the front of the store that is really easy to just grab and go. So like mango, pineapple, watermelon, it's like $10 for a container of that at Whole Foods. I'm not buying that. I think that goes, you know, also for like Trader Joe's and stuff. I honestly don't really like the produce specifically. I really don't like the fruit at Trader Joe's, but anything pre-cut in the front of the store, pre-cut vegetables, you know, you can buy the like onion, celery, carrot melange, there's a name for that at the front of the store. I'm not buying that. I'm not doing that to save time. I think it's overpriced. If it's already been cut, then it's already kind of like not going bad, but it's dull. I don't want it. I can buy things whole and I can cut them at home. I think the other layer of this too is like usually when you buy something pre-cut, a lot of times it's like not the amount you actually need. So I'm only buying what I need, whole, loose produce, and I will cut it myself. This also applies to like pre-made foods. So pre-made salsas, pre-made guacamole, like pre-made any of that that's at the front of the store, I'm not buying it. And one extra layer to this, but this layer does have a caveat, is hot bar, salad bar, any of that too at the grocery store. Honestly, like pre-made sushi, sandwiches that are pre-done and pre-wrapped, I'm not buying that because anything that's been sitting out is overpriced for what it is. And again, I can make it at home. And if I want to get like a sandwich from the grocery store or something, I'd rather pay, you know, the dollar or two more to go to the bar, like the sandwich bar at Whole Foods or whatever, and have it made myself. The exception to this rule is Erewhon. And this is LA specific, obviously, because I love the Erewhon hot bar. And I also love the Erewhon sandwiches and stuff. And you can't like order a sandwich at the time you're there, you have to get the pre-made ones there. But I think that that's more, whenever I buy things from Erewhon, I count that more as like restaurant because I'm not actually grocery shopping there. I'm just like getting the hot bar specifically. So the Erewhon is the exception. If you see me buying that, it doesn't count. So that's number one. Number two is bread, because bread is really expensive. Specifically, I'm talking like nice artisan bread. So sandwich bread, it doesn't really count, but I don't really eat sandwich bread. Like that's not something I was already buying in the first place for no other reason than like I just don't really gravitate towards that. But what I'm really specifically talking about is like artisan bread that you would get in the bakery section of the grocery store, or that you would get at a farmer's market or at a bakery specifically. So I know that this isn't just specific to LA, but if you were to go to like a nice bakery or a stand at the farmer's market and want to get a loaf of sourdough bread or some sort of boule or a baguette or something, and I'm talking like a full loaf, okay, not just like a small little ciabatta roll or whatever, it's like $9 or $10. It's actually insane how much it costs. Now that I've started to make sourdough, I can appreciate, you know, all the effort that goes into it and everything. But at the end of the day, it's still bread. Like it should not be $10 for a loaf of nice bread. And so I am no longer, you will actually never catch me buying that now that I know how to make it by myself. So if you don't have sourdough starter, up until last week, I was making all my own bread at home, just the no need bread recipe, the New York Times no need bread. It's so easy. All you need is flour, yeast, water, and salt, which you have those things or can very easily buy them. Flour is significantly less expensive, obviously, than buying a loaf of bread. Yeast, you can buy a whole container of yeast, like active dry yeast, for like $6 or $7 at the store. It will literally last you forever. Salt, you already have that at home. And water, again, you already have that at home. And you can just make your own bread. It's so, so, so easy. I will say you do need a Dutch oven, but you can buy a Dutch oven at like Home Goods or something, or Marshall's, for very inexpensive. You don't have to go buy a super fancy one. You don't need a Le Creuset or anything. And you can make it at home. Not only does this taste significantly better and cost less, but you have control over what goes into it. So I find that a lot of the breads at grocery stores, specifically again, like sandwich breads and stuff, unless you're buying like this specific unprocessed organic, you know, more artisan brands that are obviously marked up in price, the breads have tons of weird ingredients. And I just honestly, I just don't like it for that specific subset of food. So I've been making my own breads at home. I really think it's worth it. It's something that I think is fun to do, easy to learn, less expensive to implement. And honestly, it looks a lot harder than it actually is. Like it's really not hard. So if you're not making your own bread in 2024, here's your sign to maybe consider starting. Because like I said, it's a fun little hobby and you need a hobby. So why not start with bread? Number three here is dips, sauces, and dressings. So earlier this year, I randomly reminded myself that like I can make my own hummus. And that sort of was a catalyst for me to start making pretty much all my own dips and sauces and dressings and whatnot at home. So hummus specifically, guacamole, salsa, I have a mortar pestle. So I've started to make all of that by myself. For hummus, you know, all you need is tahini, a lemon, chickpeas, olive oil, salt, and you can just blend it up in a blender. There's tons of easy hummus recipes. You can customize it. You can do roasted red pepper. You can throw some garlic in there, whatever. So literally so easy to make. And a container of hummus, again, at the store is $5, $6, unless you go to Trader Joe's, which again, I'm not really frequently going to Trader Joe's and I don't really love Trader Joe's. I like it for certain things, but I don't really like their hummus. Every time I get the hummus there, I never end up finishing it. So I like to make my own hummus at home. And again, it's healthier. Same with sauces specifically for me. I feel like I've said this on the pod before, but specifically pasta sauce, you will never catch me eating jarred pasta sauce, even the nice brands, even Rao's or Rao's or however you say it, or the Victoria brand. Never. I will never, ever, ever, never have pasta with jarred sauce because I grew up in an Italian house and we always had pasta from scratch. We never had jarred sauce on pasta. I would rather just not have pasta. I will eat something else. That is like a personal preference. That's not to say those sauces aren't good, but they don't do it for me for pasta. I'll use them in other recipes or like on pizza or something, but red sauce, like I make it myself every couple of weeks and I freeze it. And then when I'm having pasta, I'll just take it out of the freezer and use that for my sauce. Again, cheaper, tastes better. I do have a sauce recipe on my Instagram. You'll have to scroll back. I think I posted it in like September, but it's there. So you can go back and find that. And then another example of this is like a salad dressing situation. So again, salad dressing, why is salad dressing so expensive? I do not understand it. I think that the salad dressings that are not in the refrigerated section at the store are like kind of disgusting. I just don't like the taste of them. They also have tons of random ingredients in them. And then the ones that are in the refrigerated section are like $9.99 for a small bottle of it, which I don't understand. So I actually bought one of the Good Seasons packets and like the little bottle that it comes with. Good Seasons is so good. And I just make my dressings at home. I've learned how to do other dressings too. So I have like a tahini dressing, like a tahini garlic dressing, peanut dressing. It's just so much easier to do it by yourself. And most of the ingredients to make all of these sauces and stuff, you probably already have. So take inventory of your pantry, see if you can fill the gaps. That is something that I've actively tried to do. Like when I go to the grocery store, I take inventory of everything that I have for meals, but I'll also take inventory of like my olive oils and my vinegars and, you know, whatever sauces and stuff are in the side of my fridge, any sort of ingredients like tahini or sriracha or anything of that sort, maple syrup. And I'll just make sure that I have those things on hand. You don't have to buy them every time you go to the store. You know, I probably rebuy one of those items every other time I'm going to the store so that I'm always fully stocked. But having them on hand, you know, then you can always just whip up whatever you need without needing to go specifically spend $10 on a jar of or a bottle of salad dressing that's going to go bad after a week. You can just make the amount you need at home for the recipe that you're making with the ingredients that, you know, you have in your fridge and pantry. So if you're not already doing this, I definitely recommend that you sort of begin the process of making an effort to create a pantry where you have ingredients and become like an ingredient house. I know that also kind of gets a bad rep on TikTok, but honestly, becoming an ingredient person has kind of changed my life in a good way. So I would recommend giving it a try. I also think this sort of all goes along the trend online of like the trad wife, which, you know, I don't want to talk about the social implications of that. That's really not the point. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, you know what I mean. But it's nice to see people making things from scratch again and sort of homemaking, if that makes sense, instead of buying everything pre-done. I think the pre-done stuff is just so expensive. And for what? It doesn't taste good. It's full of filler stuff. It doesn't last as long. Why? So all this kinds of stuff I'm making by myself. Now we're going to move on to number four, away from food. And number four is planners and aesthetic office supplies. So I used to be in journals. I used to be the kind of person where like every year I would buy a new planner and I would buy a journal because people tell me I need to go journal, the 5-minute gratitude journal, whatever. And I would use these things for like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. And then I'd give up on it because it just required too much for me. Or it wasn't like a way of planning that actually worked for me and the way that my brain works. So I no longer buy planners, journals, any of that new. If it gets sent to me, okay. If I get it at a conference or something, okay. But I'm not buying any of that. And this also goes for aesthetic office supplies. I am on that side of TikTok. I think her name's Callie May, where she does like all of her ASMR, set up my desk with me, and she has the planner and she has the receipts thing and she has the little stapler and all those fancy pens and highlighters. Literally, I don't use any of that, but I've been watching those videos and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need all of these aesthetic pens. I have two pens in my house. I don't write on paper. I don't even have paper. I don't even have a notebook anymore because I use my iPad and I use Notion. And like if I need a notepad or something, I probably have one floating around in one of my cabinets, but it's not something I'm using every day. So like it's not stuff that I need to buy. I also always get asked like how I keep my desk so clean and clutter free. I keep my desk clean and clutter free because I just don't have clutter. I don't buy clutter. Like it seems kind of silly to say, but that is actually the literal reason. So to avoid accumulating stuff that I don't use and spending money on office supplies that I'm never going to touch or that aren't necessary, I just have decided I'm not buying any of that. I don't need planners. I don't need office supplies outside of like a few pens. I did actually recently need to get like a little miniature stapler. So I got one of those. It was like $3. But beyond that, I just don't need it. I don't need the organizers. I'm not buying it. That's a hard rule for me. And it makes me a lot happier to like have less stuff. Although I will say like, I understand that saying, oh, I don't have a planner because I just use my iPad can also be interpreted as kind of annoying. I didn't buy my iPad specifically for planning, but I knew that it was also something that I would use as part of my planning. So this isn't to say like, oh, instead of buying planners, just go buy a $700 iPad. But if you have an iPad already, which I know people have those, some people do, not everyone, but some people have them, you can use it as a planner. So like maybe try that. I love digital planning. I find it to be a lot more manageable. And again, it keeps me from accumulating notebooks and clutter and all of that. Because the other thing too is like I would always feel guilty throwing that away. Like I don't want to throw away my journal or throw away a planner or something, but like if I'm not using it, then why am I keeping it? So the iPad has kind of solved that problem for me. And then I also use Notion, which I wasn't a Notion girl up until like the end of 2023. I always saw people using Notion and I could never understand how to use it because it's kind of a hard interface to learn. But now that I've like cracked the code on my own Notion situation, I am obsessed with Notion. I will do a Notion tour, probably on Instagram and TikTok, but I love Notion. I use it to map out my months. I use it to set my business goals. I use it to plan out my podcast. I use it to plan out my podcast episodes. I use it for my weekly plans. I use it for my to-do list, my content planning, everything. I love Notion. So if you're not using Notion, you totally should use it. Okay, moving on to number five. Number five is food delivery. So one of my like latest things is I don't particularly love going out to dinner or going out to eat in general. I'll still do it. Like I don't have a hard rule on I'm never going out to dinner again. But I have found that in general, on the theme of things becoming just outrageously expensive, going out to eat has become outrageously expensive. And to me, it just really hasn't been worth the money anymore because I don't need to be spending $80 to go out to dinner and have, you know, an entree and a glass of wine. It just feels like a waste to me. So instead, I have been ordering takeout, I would say a slightly more frequently than I did in the past. Like I don't do it every Friday, but like, for example, if I'm having a Friday night in, I like to order Thai food. And so that's takeout. I'm not sitting there and eating it alone. I'm going to pick it up. What I will not do though is do Uber Eats and order it on food delivery. I will never do Grubhub. None of that. And the reason why is because I don't want to be paying an extra $10 to $15 for a meal. That defeats the purpose of doing the takeout, right? Like if I'm going to be paying $40, $50 for takeout, I might as well just go out to dinner. So if I'm going to be ordering takeout and I don't want to go pick it up, I'm just not ordering it. I'll find something to cook at home. And usually, like, if I really want the takeout and I really don't want to cook at home, I can spend the 20 minutes to go drive to the place and get it myself. I find that having this boundary around not doing food delivery and not paying for all of that really helps me differentiate if I actually want to order the food or not. I know that Uber Eats can get into people's routines, and you can easily overdo it on the Uber Eats and the food delivery and stuff, but it's honestly stupid, and I'm going to say it, it's stupid to be paying a $5 to $10 delivery fee, and then you also have to tip the driver because, you know, we're good people out here, and people are working hard to deliver your food, so if you're ordering food delivery and you're not tipping them, like, that's kind of, that's not cool. So I just don't think it's worth it to be paying all the fees for food delivery. So I no longer pay for that. I never really did in the past, but I'm not going to. I have no plans to do that. Okay, moving on to number 6 is duplicates. So I used to be the kind of person who would like stock up on stuff, whether it be stocking up on things at Costco or rebuying skincare in advance. I just don't need to be doing that. I don't need to buy something before I run out of something else. Unless there is an exception to this rule, unless it is a product that I already use and know I will use and it's on sale at the time that I am making a purchase to like rebuy it, if that makes sense. So for example, like if I'm on Polished Choice restocking all of my skincare and I see that the products that I'm already using consistently and already love are on discount, I'll probably buy 2 of them while they're on sale because I know that I would be rebuying it in the future. But I don't otherwise need to be rebuying or purchasing duplicates of anything before I actually need them. So this means that like toiletries and stuff, I don't really buy toiletries or anything from Costco anymore. I don't buy new things just because they're on sale. So like if I'm at CVS and it's like you get $5 off for your purchase of 2 or more from Paul Mitchell, I'm not buying 2 or more from Paul Mitchell if it's not already like a product that I already know from them that I already use and love. I find that in the past, I would always buy more than one or I would stock up on things unnecessarily. For example, like soap. I have 2 huge containers from Costco of like hand soap that I bought because it wasn't expensive, but I'm like, I just don't need it. It takes up space. I'm never going to get through it all. And I could have just bought the $2 soap from CVS and, you know, never really had to deal with it. So duplicates in general are just not things that I'm buying anymore. I'm only buying stuff that I ran out of and that I need. Number 7 is a fancy gym membership. So this really stems from the fact that just in the current phase of life I'm in, I don't feel like it's necessary to have a fancy gym membership. When I was in my earlier 20s working in Boston, I was a member of HealthWorks, which I think is like a couple $100 a month. I honestly don't remember. And I considered joining Equinox too, but I just, at that point in my life, when I was going into the office downtown, like needed to have a shower and everything, it made sense for me. But in the phase of life that I'm in now, I don't need to shower at the gym. I don't need to be going to a gym. I don't really do gym-based workouts. So it doesn't make sense for me to pay for a fancy gym. But beyond that, I also am not paying for a fancy Pilates studio either. So I've done the research in the LA area. And to be a member of a Pilates studio is like at a minimum $250 a month, likely $275 to $325-ish is more of like a realistic range. And that gets you 1 Pilates class a day. So obviously, if you're going to Pilates every day and you have a studio that you really, really love and, you know, a variety of instructors that you really, really love, that makes sense. But for me, like I have 1 instructor at 1 studio that I really like, and then I have a couple other studios that I like to go to on occasion. So it doesn't make sense for me to join 1 studio. So instead of joining a Pilates studio, I just do ClassPass. And the reason why I like ClassPass is because you can be on a membership. So right now I'm on a $150 membership, but you can plus that down or plus it up each month. So like if I next month wanted to do less credits, I could just reduce my membership and pay for less credits. Versus, you know, when you do a studio or like you join a gym, you're usually on a retainer and there's a minimum and stuff. So I find that ClassPass just works better for me to get the amount of classes that I'm actually going to use. So the membership that I'm on gets me on average 3 classes a week, which is honestly more than what I'm would usually do or what I'm able to do, because I find that the reformer is really intense. And then in addition to that, I have just a $20 subscription that I do for at-home Pilates, like mat Pilates and bar. And I've been doing that now for 3 or so years. It's called the Oro app by Sweats in the City, which is an Instagram page. I really like it because there's lots of variety on there. So yeah, that's what I do for workouts. I find that it's more cost efficient for me to get the classes that I want, get the workouts that I need. And then beyond just going to Pilates classes, I just walk. I don't need to be using any fancy machines. I don't need to be going to the sauna or anything at the gym. Like, I just don't even think it makes sense. I did also, my friend used to be a member at High Mat, which is like a gym in LA. I think it's like $350 a month to join. It's like a gym and a co-working space all combined. Really, really fancy. And I went and visited. I did like a day pass with her one time and it was awesome. But at the end of the day, like, it's literally, it's still just a gym. And realistically, even if I was a member of a gym with all those amenities, like, I'm not going to be spending 3 hours of my day at the gym, doing the gym, going in the sauna, showering and everything. Like, I'm just not going to be doing that. So it doesn't make sense for what I currently am doing in my life. That's not to say in the future, if my situation changes, a gym like that could make sense. But for now, it doesn't make sense. Next, moving on to number 8, physical books. So I hate having stuff. I actually get a lot of books like mailed to me, which is fine. I'm not opposed to it. But I am not buying physical books anymore at the store. The reason why is because, you know, I'm in my reading era and I read every single night before I go to bed, but I'm reading on my Kindle. And the reason why I like the Kindle versus physical books is you really only read a book one time. So like, why would I pay $15 to $18 for a book to read the physical book to just have it when I could use my Kindle app? I have Kindle Unlimited, so I pay like $10 and I can take out and check out books whenever I want. And then if there is a book that's not on Kindle Unlimited, I can buy it. Or, you know, everybody has told me to use the Libby app. I need to get a library card. It's on my list of things to do. But like, there are other ways to read eBooks, I think, as opposed to like going to go buy a book. I do know people are very particular and some people like to read the physical books. It is a different experience. But for me, I love my Kindle. I think it's the best money that, well, I got it as a gift, so I didn't buy it, but I think it's a worthwhile investment and it makes sense for my reading patterns. Again, I don't want to be accumulating a lot of clutter. Like, I genuinely don't have anywhere to put books if I were to be buying them, and I'm not going to read it again once I've already read it. So there's no need for me to be buying tons and tons of books. So I use my Kindle. I don't buy physical books and it works really great for me. Number 9 is getting my nails done. So I mean specifically my fingernails. I am natural nails all the way. I have not had nail polish on my nails since honestly probably like 2018, 2017. I hate having nail polish on my nails. A, you will never catch me doing gel manicures or acrylics. I did acrylics in high school. It destroyed my nails. Gel manicures, the upkeep and maintenance of getting your nails done every 3 weeks is not for me, for one. Two, it's $100 to go get your nails done. Like, I think that that's silly. I think you can very easily maintain like a nice, clean, natural nail. Sometimes, you know, every quarter or so I'll get a manicure, but I'll just get a clear coat because I like to have them shape my cuticles and everything. But I don't want to get into the rhythm of always having my fingernails done. I think it's a waste of money. I think it's a waste of time. I know people are going to disagree with me on that too, because like, there's the sentiment of people notice your nails first. If you have clean nails, that is perfectly fine. What I do spend money on though is pedicures, because I find that getting a pedicure done at the nail salon is significantly different than doing it at home. Like, I like to have my toes cleaned and like, I like to have somebody else do that. It is a different experience. But if I do ever in the future want to have my nails done, I feel like I can do it at home. Like, I don't need to spend $60, $70 on a gel manicure. So that's that. And number 10, this is the last one, is patterned trendy clothes. So I've talked about this before. I do have a whole podcast episode on building a capsule wardrobe. I posted it last May, so maybe I'll do an updated one this year. But I no longer buy trendy patterned clothes. If I am buying clothes, they are now elevated basics, meaning they are, you know, things that I can mix and match that fit the tone of my capsule wardrobe and that they are also of the material composition that I'm looking for. So they need to be either 100% of the material, so 100% cotton, 100% cashmere, 100% wool, whatever, or some combination of those things, and have a very, 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 very small percentage of elastane, rayon, whatever, acrylic, any of that. Because I have found that many, many, many stores are charging $100+ for sweaters and clothes that are made of 90% rayon or 90% acrylic or 90% nylon. Like, that's literally plastic. It's the reason your sweaters pill. It's the reason why your clothes don't look nice after a year. I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm no longer buying patterned, trendy clothes, and I'm no longer buying, on the tune of that, clothes that are not of the right material composition. I think I will do an updated capsule wardrobe episode with like updated brands that I really like and what I've learned about material comp, because the material composition of your clothes is actually so incredibly important, and it's not something that a lot of people look at. And it's the reason why the clothes that you're buying feel like you're paying more money for less nice clothes that don't last you as long. And it's because a lot of these brands have become so mainstream that they know people are going to buy from them, that they can make crappier clothes and charge more, and like it won't really make too much of a difference or people won't notice. But there are a lot of places, and I don't want to like say which ones, I will, like Abercrombie, for example. I love Abercrombie, don't get me wrong, but I like them for very specific things. I like their seamless line and I like their pants, like their jeans and stuff. But a lot of their sweaters, not all, a lot of their sweaters are all plastic, and they're really expensive. They're like $80 or $90. And it's like, you're better off spending $100 and going to get a cashmere sweater from J. Crew or an 100% cotton sweater from J. Crew that actually will last you a longer period of time. That's just overall nicer. I think they look nicer. They last longer. They fall better. Everything about the material composition of what you're buying is important. So it's definitely something you should pay attention to. And then on, you know, the tune of the patterned trendy clothes and stuff, like, I just don't think that there's longevity in buying clothes with tons of patterns or following specific trends. This is definitely like, being in my later 20s, I think I'm way more in tune with like wearing clothes that are or feel more age appropriate, I guess. But in your early 20s, like, it's really easy to be influenced to buy lots of trendy things, which, you know, that's okay on certain items, but it shouldn't be your whole closet. And then also patterns, like patterns come in and out of style. So I don't really want to be investing a lot of my money on clothes that I might not be wearing next year. So, or might feel or look outdated a year from now. That's not to say color is falls into that category. I'm talking patterns. You can still buy colored clothes, and you know, I don't wear a ton of color, but I'm not opposed to it per se. But if you were to look at my closet, I really don't have any clothes with any patterns. I don't really wear florals. I don't really wear any patterns at all, actually. So that's that. And again, I can do a whole episode on this if you're interested in it, let me know. So with that, those are the 10 things that I no longer buy. Remember, this isn't the Bible, so this might change at some point in the future. But hopefully this inspires you to think about some things that maybe you don't want to buy anymore, or things that you can be making at home, or, you know, thinking about your personal style and how you want to change your closet, or, you know, how you're spending your money on workouts and whatnot. Food for thought. I'd love to hear things that you no longer buy, so let me know. Send me a message or an email. And if you enjoyed this podcast episode and you have a kind, positive review, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. If you have constructive criticism and you post it publicly, I will shame you, so don't do it. And thank you so much for listening to Don't Depend on Daddy. I'll catch you next week.